Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I think it's the most likely spot, believe it or not, for the Warriors. So if the Warriors end up 8, it's very simple. They're going to play either Dallas, the Lakers, or the Blazers on the road.
Damn.
For that first play-in game. Who do you think they have their best shot against on the road? Blazers, Mavericks, or Lakers?
It's, for me, Dibs, it's Dallas for sure, and I've been saying that for the past 2 weeks. I don't like the Lakers at all, and I don't like Portland up there in Portland, Dibs, at all. Go ahead and give the Warriors Dallas. That's why I'm saying be careful about this A seed. I know they won't take their foot off the gas, but, man, you get the Lakers of Portland, we're talking about something else here.
I disagree with that. I would much rather play Portland. I don't think Portland scares you. I don't think that Nurkic is a player who's going to eat you up inside without your big man. So I think about the Lakers and their length, overall length from stem to stern. That's a problem, JD voice. Dallas, the Luka factor. Dallas is kind of an enigma to me. You just don't know what you're going to get, but they've played much better in the second half. To me, it's an obvious one. It's Portland. I can see Steph licking his chops thinking about a 50-piece in that one. And, you know, Dame will try to match, which he at times can. I like Draymond's defense. I don't think Carmelo scares me. I think that's the best possible matchup for him.
I like Portland too, believe it or not.
Wow.
For no other reason than it's just a team they have a lot of confidence against, I think, when they're healthy, and I mean the Warriors are healthy. I think the Warriors go into every game against Portland saying, yeah, their backcourt's great, but we'll take Curry over either of those two guys. And Curry seems to play just absolutely wonderful against Portland. And I think Draymond Green has a little psychological advantage over some of their big guys. But I've got to make a correction. My sources in Sacramento are saying Gary St. Jean coached the Kings to the playoffs. Phil Johnson, too. Please don't short Gary St. Jean. My bad. Yeah, my bad, I guess.
Yeah, the bit was from Adelman. Adelman was the last to do it.
Okay.
And, you know, that was the essence of the bit. As far as getting to 8, Steiny, and passing the Grizzlies. Grizzlies are at Detroit today, so as we scoreboard watch.
W. Right?
Okay, then they're at the Raptors, which...
Raptors putting up a little fight, yeah.
Right, and that's the tail end of their trip. And then they host the Pelicans... They host the Mavericks, and then they host the Kings twice, back-to-back nights, Sacramento in town. And then they make their last trip out to face the Warriors Sunday, May 16th. So you look at that slate, and you think, 5-2, 4-3 maybe. The Mavericks are tough. Obviously, the Warrior game. So if you're the Warriors, you know, 3-3 may not be good enough to catch Memphis.
Yeah, I think they're going to need 4-2 with a win over Memphis.
Right, and Memphis goes 4-3, and I think you win the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
I can remember just a week ago I was in Benihana's watching one of the worst losses for the Warriors at home, and it was against Dallas. And I don't know why I'm not giving Dallas credit. I guess I looked at that Warrior team like something was off, but do I need to reevaluate my, you know, how scared or the respect I have for the Mavericks? Do you think that was a beatdown, Dibs and Steiny? Was there something more to it? Because all I'm basically saying, it was just a not off night for the Warriors. Because you meet with Dallas, I just remembered that game. Like, you better be careful what you wish for, dude. I'm going third person.
I also think, didn't the Warriors hammer the Mavericks earlier in the year, though? Kind of the am I getting something mixed up? Yeah, I thought the the Mavericks, coin toss. I get the Mavericks. I'd rather play Portland, because I think also Luka's just a tough matchup for the Warriors, and I just think Luka can carry, believe it or not, I think Luka can carry Dallas against the Warriors more so than Dame can carry the Blazers. I know that sounds probably counterintuitive, but I like, Dame has done great against the Warriors, but it's just so tough for them to get over the hump against them. I'll take my chances with the Portland Trail Blazers. 888-957-9570, the number. If Warriors fall into eight, who do you want? You want the Lakers, you want the Mavericks, or you want the Blazers?
Remember against Dallas in the first matchup, they played them in back-to-back games. In three nights, they played them twice, and they hammered them in the opener. And the second game, Steph had 57, and they lost 134-132 to Dallas. And that was one they felt they should have had.
That's right.
And so, you know, you look at a possible matchup, and you could see that one going either way. I think the muscle memory of Portland, especially for Steph and Draymond, matters a lot to me. And, you know, just thinking about who's going to guard Wiggins for Portland's second team, I like that matchup too.
I'm real quick, Stanley, I'm thinking about tonight. Like, I'm envisioning the old Warriors sit Steph and Dre in the middle of the third. No, don't even got to touch the floor in the fourth. They only got eight guys playing against a young, you know, young team in Oklahoma City. But I'm like, that might not even be feasible to rest them because they're so shorthanded right now. Damn.
You know, the one thing you were saying yesterday, Goo, that I didn't really think about until today, and now I thought about it and I have to disagree. When you were just talking about the play-in and how you kind of don't like it, and yeah, come on. I mean, seven plays eight. People are really going to get inched. Yes, they are. Think about it. The Warriors are looking for – they're looking at a one-and-done situation with either LeBron and the Lakers, Damian Lillard and the Blazers, or Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. So that game's going to be billed as Steph Curry and the Warriors versus – those three guys and their teams, NBA is going to be loving that matchup. They're going to be loving it because they got four of the biggest stars in the game, and two of them are playing in that game, most likely, Dibs.
Yeah, and it's a one-and-done scenario, and it's going to be brand new. And think about the newfangled format for the NBA All-Star game and how much intrigue that created last year. Not so much this year, as more of a blowout, but – you know, you might be surprised in the one-and-done scenario. Like, baseball's wild card has really kind of grown on all of us. I know a lot of times you get a Milwaukee game. It's like, I'm all in on Milwaukee in a wild card game. I haven't seen you all year, but, you know, something about that elimination to get you excited.
888-957-9570 is the number. You want to jump in on the Warriors? Who do you want to see them play? The Blazers, the Mavericks, or the Lakers? They play that game and they win. They're the seventh seed. They play that game and they lose. Then they're going to have to win one at home against most likely the winner of Memphis and the San Antonio Spurs. So also talking about owners and Jed York commenting on Trey Lance and how Trey Lance, you know, it wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility that he may not quarterback for a couple years. That's got some 49er fans kind of scratching their heads. But do the Warriors even need a home game to get into the postseason? Or could they get in there from the 9 or 10 spot? Could they actually be at an advantage if they're not at the Chase Center? We'll tell you what we mean on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Don't forget tonight, Golden State Warriors in action. They play the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Chase Center. Warriors with six games remaining. They are all at home. Tonight's tip-off, 7 o'clock, right here on 95.7 The Game. But first at 5:30, Warriors Live with John Dickinson, Ryan Covey, and Jim Barnett. Warriors right now sitting in the ninth spot, half a game in back of Memphis. And Steve Kerr had indicated a few days ago that that goal of eight is what this team wants. He did say they want two cracks at it to get into the postseason, which they would have if they're seven or eight. Earlier today, Guru kind of surprised us all by saying that he had a special gripe, and we were going to push that to 12-12. But quite frankly, Dibs, I'm on pins and needles, and I don't want to wait any longer.
I would love to wait, but you know, my desire for delayed gratification is oftentimes offset by the instant gratification audience of which you are currently spearheading. So if he's got a special gripe and he wants to gripe it up, give it to us, I'm ready.
Goo?
It's time for Guru's Gripes. Fire away, Guru.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You're starting to piss me off.
It makes me so mad.
Oh, please don't make me angry, pal. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
King Kong ain't got on me.
It's time for Guru's Gripes.
Mother sucker.
And here we go. This is therapeutic. What you guys don't know about me is your boy's a big taco guy. I really love tacos, right? So last Sunday, I'm in Stockton at a birthday party, and all week long for my nephew Marlino, he turned three. The dad, Eric, was doing a taco truck. He was doing a taco truck. So all week it was built up where my wife's excited, I'm excited. Endless tacos. Get to the outdoor beautiful park, secluded in Stockton. DJs, everything's going, and there goes the grills with the tacos. Dude, I starved myself in the morning waiting for like 3 to 3:30 to get down. Had a little beer, you know, get my appetite going. Get up there, and all the condiments are out there, guys. Taco truck, tacos everywhere, steak, carne asada, no cheese. There was no cheese to put on the tacos, and it was one way in, one way out, so you couldn't go out to get the cheese, which I even thought, cilantro, everything, hot sauce. How do you have a taco party with no effing cheese? Dude, the music's playing. Uncle Daryl, what's wrong? I want to tell you, baby, what's wrong, but guys, I've been dealing with it for four. How do you have a taco party truck with no cheese to put Dibs? It hurt my soul. Hey, I ain't getting over that one anytime soon. Am I being picky or do you feel me?
No queso. It's like a pinata with no candy, you know? you take the stick and you hit that thing 17 times and nothing comes out but a puff of dust. How can you call it a taco bar with no queso?
Go ahead.
I'll defer here. I'm gonna kind of play this one down the middle. Defer to, you know, actual Latinos or Mexicans, because maybe there are certain kind of tacos that it is understood they're without cheese. I don't want to make that sweeping generalization. What I would say though, Goo, is did you do due diligence? In other words, did you find out whether it was an oversight by Mr. Truck, or was it just, guess what? We don't do cheese here on our trucks.
Yeah. I couldn't go True Detective. I wanted to. Everybody's looking at me, and I wanted to ask. And they're like, why are you not eating? Dude, I went somewhere else. It stuck with me. You have to have cheese, which it's like Shaq and Kobe, tacos and cheese. You got to put the cheese on the taco. It hurt, man. And then real quick, where we were at the park, if you go out, you can't come back. So I thought about, I'll just get in the caddy, ride off, come back with some cheese, shredded cheese, that is, sharp cheddar.
Of course, yeah.
And I couldn't even do that. It hurt your boy, man. I'm still thinking about it.
Guru, I think the cheese on the taco is more like a Taco Bell thing, not authentic. The authentic ones come with the corn tortilla, maybe some carne asada, a little bit of cilantro, a little bit of onion, and maybe some radish. That's it. No cheese, Goo.
Spadoni, but when I go to a nice Mexican restaurant, I always say, can I get the tacos with cheese? Or I don't even have to, you know, say that.
Oh boy.
It hurt me. Oh, who did that? Yeah, it hurt. That's all, guys. I feel better now. And I couldn't tell my wife. She'd be like, oh, you are just ungrateful. Yeah, stop. Cheese. But where was the cheese? Oh, and they had everything you wanted.
I'm struggling with the no in and out privileges. I can go to a Stanford football game and go out to my car. I'm curious what kind of a park.
It was a secluded, beautiful park, but no ins and outs. I'm like, what? But I was like, well, how do you know I'm going out? They do. Couldn't no reentry. And I didn't know if it had anything to do with the pandemic, but dude, I wanted a bag of cheese.
Yeah, what
your
the
boy
hell?
Was trying to find. Man,
what the hell is this? Oracle Park or real park?
So I got, it was a I got nice a, place. Go ahead.
You can even go in and out of Disneyland for crying out loud.
Exactly. A couple follow ups. So you did not eat.
I did not eat. And they had a big breakfast.
Cow.
Wife cooked the breakfast. I go, nope, I'm about to go in. Stomach hurting on the way home. Bloated with taco stuff. And it hurt me, man. Seriously, that's like meeting your hero and you find out he's a creep. You know, that hurt me.
And then lastly, here's where I thought the story was going, Dibs. I thought he was going to say, got up to the taco truck or got in and he got like two coupons. You could only have like two small ones or something like that. That's where I thought it was going.
I thought we were going to have about 6 to 7 stops on the drive home because of the the overabundance of taco eating. No, I mean, maybe it's all those years of working with Lo Neal where Mudbutt seems to come into virtually every
Dibbers,
story.
Be real.
I'm trying to, Lolo.
So,
I've never been to a 3-year-old's birthday party with a taco truck. I will say that.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a 3-year-old's birthday party? You yourself barely over 3 years old yourself.
My own 3-year-old birthday party, no taco truck.
Okay, well, just memo to those of you among us without children. The only reason why your toddler has a party is so you can have a party. My 1-year-old could give a rat's behind about his first birthday at Lake Chabot, but that thing was off the hook.
Alcohol was free flowing.
Keon slept through his first birthday party. He didn't come out even for cake.
Nice.
Thank God that was a home game.
Yeah. First rule of any birthday party for a kid under 8, got to have alcohol.
Yeah.
Absolutely a must. Yeah. It's clear, Guru, that you are on an island here.
I'm reading the text.
Street tacos don't have cheese. Come on, man. Taco
like
trucks
being ghetto,
don't
putting
have
the cheese on the taco. I thought that they go together. They just do.
Yeah.
Man.
Seth, 408, Spadoni got it right. No cheese. Authentic tacos don't have cheese.
Do you two prefer cheese on your tacos, guys? I'll just ask you two.
If I'm at the Bell, if I'm going drive-thru at the Bell, yes. But if it's, if it's authentic or authentica taco, no. And the fact that you would walk out because they didn't have cheese, that's truly galling to me. Your inability to adapt and adjust. I mean, I can understand a tantrum.
Right.
A quick pout. But hey, still going 4 to 6 tacos.
Yeah, exactly. It's spitting on culture is what it is.
Wow.
It's really now when we have tacos at home, we'll sometimes have the shredded cheese in a bowl or in a cup that you can sprinkle on. But if I'm at a taco truck and there's no cheese, your boy's still going to town.
Oh, man. Yeah. I held out. Yeah. I feel better, though.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I just can't believe you didn't eat him. I really can't. All right. Well,
want to get away?
Well, getting back to the Warriors. Hey, I saw a stat that's unbelievable. Actually, not unbelievable. In fact, some people would say it makes perfect sense. So when I mean unbelievable, I mean very logical. Unless, this is an NBA stat, guys, unless home teams in the NBA go 70-23 from now until the rest of the season, all right, 70-23, this year, 2021, will be the worst combined home winning percentage in NBA history. In other words, this year is on pace to be the least advantageous home court advantage in NBA history. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense, I think, in many ways, because for one thing, you've had no fans for the most part for the majority of arenas. You're just now starting to get some fans, but no one's at capacity. So the make some noise electronic flashing sign that is in every arena, it hasn't had any effect. There's been no one there to make some noise. Also, the nature of the schedule, the fact that you've had so many back-to-back games in the same city, I think that lends itself to the teams splitting more often than not. And so that obviously takes a bite out of the home team when, you know, for example, the Warriors are going to have, what, the back-to-backs against the Pelicans coming up, and they'd be hard-pressed to win both, which eventually hurts your home record.
And I think about Kelly Oubre again, guys. How many times have I mentioned this? That interview he had with Gareth Burke, to where he talked about Steiny, what and how he fed off the crowd. And to me, Steiny, you know, going into a venue now where there are no fans or just a portion, a fraction of the fans, that gives the opposing team the advantage because you're basically just playing at a neutral place. So that stat does not shock me at all. It's almost like to be expected.
Who's got the best home field or home court advantages in all of sports? Wow. In all of sports. You can go college. You can go pro. I mean, obviously, to me, you know, Oracle Arena in Oakland was the number one home venue in the NBA in terms of enthusiasm and in terms of home court advantage. I really believe during We Believe and during the, you know, championship run of 5 years, I mean, it was the most daunting arena in the NBA. I really think so. I'm trying to think of maybe number two, but I think all NBA arenas the last 10 or 15 years have to answer to Oracle Arena in Oakland.
Don't sleep on Arco Arena, fellas. Back with the Cowbells. They had to ban those things and the earplugs Phil Jackson would have on Dibs when the Kings were relevant.
Right. And think about that now in terms of, you know, crowd noise and all that. You can't bring anything in the arena. They're not going to allow 15,000 people to rock cowbells, you know. We gotta hear the hip-hop tune every time they come down the floor. It's just the noise-making era, I think, as fans, that's kind of gone the way of the dodo bird. I wonder if the four local teams, the big four, the A's, the Giants, the Niners, and the Warriors, who needs a return to fandom more? You know, the A's, I think, obviously, not to pick the low-hanging fruit, but they do need their fans back, that rowdy right field group. They've got a small and hardy band of followers. The Giants, well, when they're good, it's 41,000. When they're mediocre, it's kind of a muted crowd.
Right.
The Niners had it working at Levi's when they went to the Super Bowl. That conference championship atmosphere was electric.
And really?
Then, of course, the Warriors, it was those playoff games at home were incredible.
You
in the run-up to the Super
Bowl.
You
didn't hear anything about the sun then, huh, Dibs?
Exactly, Goo. And the Warriors still looking for that real Chase identity. So I wonder, Steiny, who you think needs a return to spectator normalcy more?
Oof. Well, I'll tell you what. When I look back at the Bay Area and kind of their some teams' great runs and put the fans, obviously the Warriors and their fans, but, you know, when the Giants were rolling from 2010 to essentially 2015, their fan base was a big, big part of what they were doing. The Giants, to me, managed to capture the casual fan more so than any other team in the Bay Area during that stretch. And whether it's because they had the panda hats and the giraffe hats, the Giants just, for whatever reason, did an incredible job of, and I can't believe I'm saying this, telling stories about their players, and it got casual fans very interested. And I think the ballpark obviously was a huge part of that, kind of built right at the right time, right before that run. But to me, the Giants had a big time advantage at what was it, AT&T back at whatever it was, you know. But that stay, I seriously don't
SBC
Monster Dan and Master Truck. Calm. Well, I don't know. But you know what I mean? When the Giants were going good in 10, 12, and 14, it just felt like there was an expectation of some magic happening in that building late in games, late in important games.
I just think about that arcade area and how many dates when I was single I went on just to go be at that location and look at the water and the infrastructure, the Bay Bridge, Dibs. It would they had it. That's what you aim for when you build something, a cathedral. You aim for you, obviously you want the fans to watch the game, but you want to be able to do something else inside the game. And AT&T, to me, to this day, has captivated me on that. And I used to see fans on day games where the sun was out, that Bay Area weather, just chilling, you know, like it was an activity, like they were in Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk / baseball game. But for me, the team that needs it the most is the team that has been, can I dare say, robbed of an opportunity to establish something at their new cathedral, and that's the Golden State Warriors. We've yet to really see Chase right. get rowdy. And Dibs, what did you say? You said it so well. You know, there hasn't been christened yet,
right.
you know, and maybe that'll come this season, but not with 6%. I hope that number goes up for the playoffs because I love the fans, but watching right now, I can't really – it ain't giving me that Oracle feel yet, obviously, with less fans.
Right. It's like a soft opening of a restaurant where you've got friends and family and, you know, a few of the neighbors. And, yeah, okay, you get a sense for what it is, but you're not getting a real full feel for a packed restaurant on a Friday night in rush hour, which that's what you're waiting for Chase. And it's about the culture, Goo. We don't know – what the new traditions and the new culture of that building is. We learned at Oracle when it became Roracle and you had We Believe. And even before that, the place had a definite culture. Before the remodel, when it was just one level, Steinier, there was no suites. It was row one through like row 75. It was an old, old school arena. And you could go in there and, you know, you could usually find a seat and you saw some of the same familiar faces. And then they had a couple of great runs, and then it became Roracle, and then you won championships, and well, now you're at this new place, and you don't yet know what the traditions are, and that has to get established, but probably won't really start to get established until maybe November? I mean, come
right.
November, what do you think we're going to have as far as capacities at a Warrior game? You think we'll be able to get a full house?
That's and I know a great this question.
Is 70%. We got to get to 70, right?
In 6 months, can we get to 70% capacity?
I think there's two issues now, Dibs. One is whether they'll allow 100%. And then two is, you know, are there 18,000 people that are willing to, you know, pay the price of getting into that arena and then pay the price of spending 3 hours with 18,000 people in an enclosed area? Let me ask you this. Do you guys have a bucket list of venues you want to check out for great home court or home field. You know, in fact, I'll throw that out at 888-957-9570.
Maybe keep it to a Rushmore, you know. We'll give everyone a Rushmore of venues that you haven't been to.
Okay. Then I'd have to come up with four right right.
Well, I'll hit
bat.
You with my just a
okay.
quick. It
I'm
just
waiting.
Hit me
I'm
quickly.
Writing it down. Okay.
Quickly, and the first one is Fenway. Just I need to go to Fenway and see the monster.
Yeah.
The Frozen Tundra Lambeau Field.
Oh,
would be number two. Cameron Indoor to see Duke, and I wonder how that's going to be. And you got to hurry on that one because when Krzyzewski leaves, who knows what Duke eventually, you know, becomes at that point. And then I would have to say Notre Dame, go to a Notre Dame football game would be the fourth one. Just a quick thumbnail Rushmore from your boy Diverclaws.
I'm feeling all those.
Yeah, I got Duke on mine for sure, Cameron. I've got Fog Allen Fieldhouse, believe it or not, in Kansas. I've been told that place is unbelievable, that the history in that building is absolutely incredible. It goes all the way back to Wilt Chamberlain. Apparently, the arena itself, which of course is old, is actually almost a museum because apparently there's all kinds of photos and great stuff in the bowels and in the corridors, etc. Which is the university that has the pit? Is that New Mexico or New Mexico State? One of those.
Yeah, exactly. It's New Mexico.
I've never seen it, but I've always heard that place is a flat-out zoo. And I'm gonna piggyback on Lambeau Field and maybe throw
the
in a
Frozen Tundra.
to go back to one of those great ones.
I got Fenway dibs and Steiny. I got PNC Park. That's just, to me, it can match what the Giants have at AT&T, except they got the Allegheny River. It's not the Bay. Honestly, I mean this. I'm a piss the Niner fans off. I want to see I'm assuming crowds. I want to watch a football game in Seattle, the 12th man with that environment. That's off the chain. And then I want to see Clemson football. I want to watch a game at Clemson Stadium. Full house, man, because that thing, the sea of orange, I'm feeling that, Dibs and Steiny.
No, I'm with you. I was fortunate enough to see Texas A&M take on Tennessee in College Station.
Oh, man.
And to that game, double overtime, Jalen Hurd and a guy by the name of Alvin Kamara on Tennessee on that incredibly warm afternoon. But seeing the tradition and everyone, you know, swaying together as they play the fight song with 75,000 of your closest friends. It's definitely something you want to take in.
No NBA venues. You know, it used to be old for Chicago Stadium, the Forum. But these new ones, I don't like them. I ain't feeling
I'm
them.
Dying
there ain't
to get
no
the
history
Smoothie
behind
King.
Them. Yeah, Boston. You know, Steiny, that ain't the Garden.
To me, the last great basketball venue that was built was Conseco Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Even though it was new, it had all these retro touches that were really, really cool. It had the scoreboard with the lights. It actually had, you know how you go to a train station and the letters flip when they different destinations? They had one of those. It was really cool. By the way, here's a late programming note. Pete Rose is going to join us, guys, at noon. That's in 20 minutes. It's Willie Mays' 90th birthday today, and we're going to talk to Pete Rose about the great Willie Mays. You're definitely going to want to check it out. I guarantee you there will be stories you've never heard before from Pete Rose as it relates to Willie Mays. Be interesting to see if Pete thinks Willie's the greatest player that he's ever seen in his entire life. A couple other ones coming in. Madison Square Garden. Okay. Madison Square Garden. I got that one. That's the Mecca.
I've been to the Garden. I love the Garden. Yeah, I went, man, that was pre-kids. That was late 90s. We saw Reggie Miller and the Pacers take on the New York Knicks. And it's incredible. You come out of the train station, the subway, and you're just there. And you go up, in our case, about 8 escalators.
Right.
We were on like the 700 level for like $1.60 a ticket, by the way, 1990 values. But it's incredible the way it's situated right in the heart of the city that is in the heart of the entire planet. It's a powerful place.
Yes, and it counts.
Well, there is something about being in Madison Square Garden kind of before a game. There is an excitement level for sure. 510 saying great. Great pro NFL environment, Kansas City.
Yeah.
The Kansas City Chiefs. We also have a Boston Garden in there. Obviously, that would be the old Boston Garden. Seattle Seahawks, obviously, with the 12th man and the pumped-in noise, depending on whether you believe that or not. No, I said whether you believe that or not. And then someone also saying the original Oakland Raiders at the Coliseum with the black hole.
No doubt.
Not to mention, you know what, I'll throw in the dog pound in Cleveland. Quite frankly, an environment that caters to lunatics, quite frankly.
How about the Allegiant Stadium in Vegas? Anybody clamoring to go catch a Raider game in Las Vegas?
Ideally with triple digits bearing down on you.
You're inside, but I'm not feeling inside stadiums anymore, man.
Yeah, my sources say that the Las Vegas Stadium, you can't really park at the stadium, that you have to park essentially a mile away and they shuttle you in. We'll find out more about that upcoming. But they're just talking about great, great venues. All right, here's what we got coming up. We got Pete Rose coming up at noon. That's in 20 minutes. We're going to have a little tribute to Willie Mays through Pete Rose. It's Willie Mays' 90th birthday. So we got Pete Rose coming up on the other side. Are you in need of quality painting? MB Jesse Painting offers the most trusted painting services in the Bay Area. Their experts have been helping the Bay Area for 25 years. Visit mbjesse.com for a free quote today. That's MB Jesse Painting.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, phase two has begun at the house. Phase two of the rat exclusion.
I was just going to ask for an update, and here you go. Tell us.
Our guy George came out. I think it's George. Yeah, George came out. He's our technician, and today he set some more traps and closed up an area where he saw there was some open areas for the rats to get in, and we've got one more phase coming in a week, and then the extended warranty will be taken advantage of. So hopefully we can get rid of these things.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Juniper, who was bullied by a neighborhood cat, sits around and sips warm milk and takes naps in the sun. Pretty much.
Yeah. It's we should, you know, they have that movie, what, Wife Swap? Dibs and I are going to consider doing Cat Swap. I'll take Cliff in here.
Man, he's a cold
start
piece.
Start wreaking havoc.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Middle-aged men and their cats.
Yeah. Go ahead, Goo.
No, I was just saying, good for the Steinmetz to get rid of the rats.
Yeah. Pete Rose coming up in 10 minutes. Pete Rose, we're going to talk to him about Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid. Willie is 90 years old today. And I just, you know, I caught him at the end of his career for the most part when he was a Met in the 70s. But a lot of players, Dibs, former players make a case that he's the greatest of all time. And I'm interested to talk to Pete Rose about that and just kind of how great this guy was. Because I've just heard some amazing stories.
And you look at the career and it's just remarkable. And think about just the home run totals, Steiny. He goes 20 as a rookie of the year, then a short season, military. He basically misses 2 years, but then it's 41-51, 36-35, 29-34, 29-40, 49-38, 47-52, 37. I mean, that's stacking years. And then, by the way, he would go on to play another 8 years after that where, only 22 homers and then 23 homers as a 37-year-old in 1968. When you're 37 in 1968, that's like being 47 in today's day and age, with the travel, the nutrition, the attention to detail, the fitness, the supplements. You see what I'm getting at? I mean, imagine a 47-year-old right now. Albert Pujols cut today. He's now 47. That's how remarkable Willie was, young, middle-aged as an athlete, and even as an older athlete.
I just wonder what the comp would be for him today, Steiny and Dibs. Like, or is there anybody not even close to what he does? And where I'm going is, the best baseball player I've ever laid eyes on and actually got to watch is Barry Lamar Bonds. But just thinking about the greats, Clemente, Willie Mays, I hate the steroid era because those numbers were aided by things that obviously weren't allowed, Dibs and Steiny. So when you look at Willie Mays, just his home run totals from afar, guys like that go down when they, you know what I'm saying, Dibs, when they really shouldn't. But it looks like, right. Willie, home runs, okay, cool. But it ain't the Gotti numbers that were fluctuated because, you know, they went up because of the roids. That's all.
In this era, and I think it's appropriate to compare him to Albert Pujols. It's not to say that Pujols was a steroid user. He's never been proven to be as such. He's a big guy who played in the steroid era. He's got more home runs than Willie Mays. 667 to 660, and he's got more runs batted in than Willie Mays, 2,112 for his career. Willie only, quote-unquote, drove in 1,903. So to your point, Goo, the numbers in this era are gaudy, but I don't think anybody would say, oh, yeah, I have Albert Pujols higher on my all-time hitter list, higher than Willie Mays.
Well, give me career average for Willie Mays.
Okay, I was on the Pujols
compared
page.
With, compared
Willie
with
was Pujols. 302 okay. Career batting average. Pujols 298.
Huh, interesting. Willie Mays, I think, was considered the greatest, one of the greatest defensive players, too, in terms of being an outfielder, you know, in his day. He and Mickey Mantle were speed merchants back in their day. So Willie Mays, 90 years old, and we're going to have Pete Rose on to talk about – the Say Hey Kid.
Steiny, another guy that you can compare him to right now would be like a guy like Mike Trout, obviously has the five tools. His career batting average right now is 306 compared to Willie Mays' 302. Obviously, batting average, not the stat we always used today, like war, but a guy with five tools and keeps getting better. He's batting 400 this season.
How old is Trout now? 28?
Yeah, he'll be a 30 coming up in August.
Damn. Yeah.
The Millville 30. Meteor. Yeah, look at that nickname, Dibs, if you're on Mike Trout page.
Yeah, I was just flashing back to when I covered him in the single A Cal League series.
Oh, really?
When he was 18 years old, yeah, fresh out of high school. It was him against Brandon Crawford, who the Giants kind of, you know, sneakily moved him down from double A just in time to qualify for the single A playoffs. And Crawford and Trout were dueling. Trout was 18.
Don't you wish, guys, tell me if you feel me on this. If you feel me, that Trout had a little Aaron Rodgers in him, Steiny and Dibs. The fact that basically he's a no-show in the postseason. Don't you wish he would say, you know what, send me to a winner. And then we could see Trout on the biggest stage is where I'm going. That's the one thing he's missing when you look at his portfolio.
I mean, that's the one thing about baseball is you can be the best player in the game and maybe not impact it like a basketball player.
That's crazy, man.
You know what, though? I was thinking about this the other day. I can't stand when people say, athletes, you should want to go to a winning team more than get paid. Hit the pike. I mean, hit the absolute pike. It's like a guy like Kelly Oubre. All right. Oh, well, he's got two choices. He can come off the bench for the Warriors, okay, and they may make the playoffs next year and maybe win a round, who knows. Or he could go get paid from the Detroit Pistons. Go get paid. I mean, go get paid. I can't stand these people. Why should an athlete put himself in a position where he can't excel individually? I've never understood that. And not to mention, you know, fans saying, just take less money. You would not take less money. If somebody gave me twice as much money to work at a radio station that's not quite as good,
gone.
Well, I'm the exception because I'm a team player, but most people would take. No, I mean,
it depends on the situation. And I mean, right. Double the money is one thing. And, you know, if you're Mike Trout, you're only 29, so it's not like your career is about to end. Right. And maybe next stop, you'll go somewhere where you want to have a better chance to win. Just look at the numbers, Steiny, between he and Willie Mays on Willie Mays' 90th birthday. This is Trout's 11th season. If you give Mike Trout 11 more years at the same level that he's playing, just double his numbers, he still doesn't get to Willie Mays. He has 310 homers, so doubled would be 620. If you doubled his ribbies, he'd be at 1,630, and his average would be just a, you know, I know it's average is an old school stat, but just to give you some perspective on what Trout would have to do to get in Willie's, you know, sort of statistical arena, he'd have to have 22 years, not 11, but 22 of what he's doing right now. That shows you how remarkable Willie was.
I call that a whole week.
That's more like a whole generation, but I get it, Ike.
Yeah. Pete Rose coming up momentarily. We're going to talk to him about the Say Hey Kid Willie
Love
Mays.
Pete.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it'll be a vintage Pete Rose interview where I don't have to do much, to tell you the truth. I'm looking at 15 minutes of listening, which is always fun. Warriors, Oklahoma City tonight, by the way. That's a 7 o'clock start. You can hear it all right here on 95.7 The Game. And Warriors Live will start at 5:30 with J.D. Covey and Jim Barnett. Six games left for the Warriors, six home games left for the Warriors, and they're trying to sneak up to that 8 spot, Goo.
I got some I just got a question for you two. Thunder coming in here, the Young Thunder. I've been on BetQL this morning doing my lab work. What do you think the spread is for tonight?
I saw it myself. Yeah.
Let me ask Steiny. This one was
7.5. 7.5.
14.